Well, Dan, I admire your restraint. Did you know that there were 12 or 15 verses to that psalm? Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, and we will hear what our Lord's apostle, his officially designated teacher, has to say to us today. May we hear the voice of God in what he says. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 is our paragraph for today. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, before I get into the text, are any of you cold? One, I only see one hand, two hands. Anybody else cold? Because I can feel that breeze coming through here. Now, I'm a polar bear. Are you raising your hand or fixing your glasses? You do that, you know, in class. You ask for volunteers, you do. Oh, I know, I wasn't. Well, I was just fixing it. Well, okay. If you get cold, wave to me. Well, it's campaign time. In the district where we live, we're having a runoff because the two Republican candidates didn't get enough. And yesterday, Ruth Ann and I got four pieces of literature, two from each candidate, both claiming to be conservative, both claiming to be pro-life, both saying that the other person is unethical. Man, we're living in a time where if you can't say anything nice about anybody, go ahead and say it. There's an old story about Alice Roosevelt Longsworth. She was the daughter of Theodore Roosevelt's first marriage, and Alice, her mother, died in childbirth. She was the queen of all of Washington, D.C. society, and she was known for having a notoriously wicked sense of humor. And she once sat at a party and said to somebody, "If you can't say anything nice about anybody here, please come here and sit next to me." Well, we find out that Hillary Clinton was involved in sending this false dossier to smear Trump. And Trump himself, to be fair to both sides, has not exactly said uplifting things. He said a lot of things that he need not have said. Ruth Ann and I watched a movie I had. I got so tired to see people who cannot express themselves except in four-letter words. You remember Edwin Newman? Those of you who are old enough to remember him from NBC News? Okay, David admits he was old enough to know that. He had a book called Strictly Speaking that I thought was absolutely incredible. But one of the things that he says about the condition of English in America, as he said, you can always tell when a society has decayed, when most of its slang words are either profanity or scatology, and I can't remember now all of a sudden what the third one was, the vulgarity of some sort. Profanity, obscenity. In other words, when the majority of the slang phrases are either religious terms used in a secular context, damn, goddamn, or oh my God, used without reference, with proper reverence, that's one. Obscenity, references to sex. Oh man, there's a lot of that. And scatology. You know what scatology is, don't you? Slang phrases that refer to human excrement. Do you see a lot of that in our society, or am I the only one who's sensitive to that? A lot of profanity, a lot of obscenity, a lot of scatology. Last Sunday, or the Sunday before Ruth Ann and I returned to Dripping Springs, we stopped at HEB in Marble Falls. And you know what? You can walk through Marble Falls HEB on a Sunday morning and at 1 o'clock, and you know who's been to church and who hasn't by the way they dress. Those who are nicely dressed probably came from church. The rest of them are in t-shirts, shorts, and who knows what is on the t-shirt. And flip-flops. Well, just like at HEB, you can tell who's been to church. It's soon coming that we're going to tell who's a Christian by their speech. By the way you talk, and I'm not talking about enunciation or intonation, I'm talking about selection of words. Being pristine in your language. And that is what he's going to be talking about here. Let's look at this passage and see what he's telling us. Now, I want to make this point clear before we get into the passage. He's not talking in this passage about a situation where there is evil that needs to be confronted, but he's talking here about the normal, everyday life occurrences that happen to you and me. Just like the other day when some guy deliberately, he saw me in line, he deliberately cut me off so that he could get his gas before I could get mine. We're getting ruder and cruder and selfish in our society. Do you see that, or am I just being an old fuddy-duddy? Well, look what he says here. He says, first of all, that believers are to have a God-pleasing interaction with other people. He begins in verses 8 and 9 by saying that believers are to have a God-pleasing interaction with others in both good and bad situations. Look at verse 8, for example. Here God says a God-pleasing interaction requires that believers have characteristics that promote unity. Look what this says here. Finally, all of you, and here he's concluding this section, have unity of mind. Now, it's hard for us all to think the same thing. Some of you like football, some of you like baseball. Some of you like the color green, some of you like the color pink. But in the essential things, your core values need to be the same. Among all of you, I have to make the assumption, and you make it of me, that the number one core value in your life is to honor the Lord in all things. I hope you and I are agreed on that. That is important. Have unity of mind, sympathy. You feel for other people. Now we're getting into, and this is picked up by tenderhearted a little later. Brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. I was at Sam's Club waiting for Ruth Ann. And this lady came up next to me, and I could feel from the heat, she was angry. And I said to her, "Oh, you upset?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Is this a constant occurring problem, or do you have some special situation in mind?" She said, "I'll confess I have an anger problem." I said, "You want to reduce your anger?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Lower your expectation of others." Not everybody has to think like I do. It would be a great world if they did. Just reminds me of a story. Two men were talking, and one man was saying, "Oh, I'm glad all the men in the world aren't like me." And the other man said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because if all the men in the world were like me, they'd all want to marry my wife." And the other guy said, "Well, now that you mention it, I'm glad all the men in the world are not like me." And the guy said, "Why?" He said, "Otherwise, nobody would have her." Aren't we glad we don't think alike? Lower your expectation from others. Now in our society, I'm not expecting unbelievers to act like believers. That's part of the problem with the people on the right and the people on the left. They all think everybody has to agree with them. Now, I admit, I've seen corruption, and there's a time to speak to it. I've seen corruption in the Christian ministry, and you have to address it. But in the normal day affairs of life, don't expect everybody to agree with you. Lower your expectations. And look for an opportunity to say something kind. Did you see in the news this past week that Elon Musk said that he's no longer going to be a Democrat? He said they used to stand as the party for kindness. He said now it's hate. Well, there's hate on both sides. Remember, the problem is the heart, always. And if you've got a heart, you're part of the problem. So we want to have sympathy and brotherly love and tender and a humble mind. A humble mind. But then in verse 9, he says we need not only to give a God-pleasing interaction to promote unity, In negative situations with people who are hostile to us, our God-pleasing response is to bless, not curse. He says here, verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Well, that you could see from these two conservative candidates who are ripping one another apart, that you say something bad about me, I'm going to say something bad about you. By the way, how many of you love negative campaigning? How many of you really like it when they say the negative about you? Poll after poll shows Americans do not like negative campaigning. And poll after poll shows that it's most effective. Now you figure out that. Why do we hate something and yet we allow it to affect how we think? Don't do evil for evil. I'm going to get even with you. That's where we are in our society. And reviling for reviling. But look what he says in the how we are to behave. On the contrary, bless. Now, I'm not saying that you condone the behavior of evil. But your life is to be one of a blessing. Now, he gives two reasons for that, and I want you to see this in the text. There are two reasons why you are not to go tooth for tooth, eye for eye, and so forth, which in the Old Testament limited the vengeful spirit. Just because you knock my tooth out doesn't mean I got the right to kill you. No, tooth for tooth, it limited the spirit of vengeance, and it's in all of us. But to bless, why? First of all, the text says, for to this you were called. God has called you to be a blessing, not a curse to other people. How are you doing on fulfilling your calling? It is a divine call to each one of you that your life should be a blessing to others. That, again, that doesn't mean you are to condone evil. There are times where you have to say, I'm sorry, this is wrong. But you have to be a blessing. The general tenor of your life is a blessing. And you know what? If you really want to please the Lord, bless those who persecute you, says Jesus. Now it's easy for us to say, oh, I'll bless Charlene. Why? Well, she's so nice to me. And I'll bless David over here. Why? Because he's so nice to me. It's another thing to bless someone who's got it out for you. Bless and not curse. Blessed are you when men revile you and say all evil against you unjustly. Rejoice in that day. For then you shall be great. The peacemakers are the children of God. We have no peacemakers today. And the world will never be at peace when we're trying to get everybody in the world to cooperate with me. It doesn't work. You have been called to be a blessing to others. How are you doing on that? The second reason is that you may obtain a blessing. So when you fulfill your ministry of your life being a blessing to others, God is going to bless you. He doesn't say how. He just says he's going to. That's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, rejoice in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. I remember my father one time saying to me, he did something nice for somebody that mistreated him, and a man came up to my dad and said, boy, there are going to be stars in your crown. Dad said, well, I'd like to have a few stars today. But that's the terms we have to use. We have to have long term. Remember, this life is not all there is. If this is all there is, then life is unjust and there's no purpose and meaning in the world at all. But if we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and set up his kingdom and there is going to be a judgment in the future, we want to appear good there. And so we show maturity. One of the signs of maturity is living with delayed gratification. Our society doesn't know what delayed gratification is. And frankly, many of us don't either. Have you ever caught yourself being impatient in front of the microwave? My father told me it would take 2 hours to bake a potato when he was a kid. Now we can do it in 8 minutes. And why does it have to be 8 minutes? Delayed gratification is a sign of maturity. You know, you see this. It's one of those that you live among the poor and you see that they don't understand that. A mature person does. Now, Peter here wants to reinforce this. And he uses, after giving us this injunction, he quotes the Old Testament here. Do you see that? He's going to quote the Old Testament to reinforce what he's just said. That believers will be blessed by God for a God-pleasing interaction, even amid hostile circumstances. And it's confirmed from the Old Testament. First of all, let me ask you, how many of you desire to see good days and have a long and prosperous life? Only one hand is raised. Two. Anybody here want to die today? I don't see a hand. Finally. Okay, good. So you all want to live long and prosper, right? One of these kinds of things, right? By the way, do you know where Leonard Nimoy got that? That Vulcan greeting? Leonard Nimoy is Jewish. And that's how the priest, that's how the rabbi would pronounce the benediction, the blessing, like that. Great picture of Enrico Caruso when he played the Jew in an opera doing this. And they asked Nimoy to have some kind of a Vulcan greeting, and he remembered the rabbi doing this. How many of you can do this with your fingers? How many of you can do that? Okay. Look at verse 10. For whoever desires to love life and see good days. Is that you? Does that describe you? Okay. If it does, then we want to pay attention to what he goes on to say. Well, how do you have a good life and see good days? Well, he tells us, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Those are figures of speech called a synecdoche, the tongue and the lips, referring to how you talk. Let him turn away from evil. All of these are negative. Then do good, let him seek peace and pursue it. That's how you live a long and prosperous life. Generally. There are exceptions. But we allow the Lord to make everything right at the judgment. But generally, if you want to live a quiet and peaceable life, which is what we've been called to do, you watch your tongue. You say things that make for peace. That's key. Well, let me conclude by telling you three reasons why. Verse 12 contains three reasons why believers should seek a God-pleasing interaction with both friends and foes. Reason number one, God will notice you. for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Do you want God to notice your good deeds? How many of you want God to see your bad deeds? By the way, one of the best ways you can ever find victory over sin is saying, now I can do this and nobody but God and me will know it. Remember, God sees you all the time. George Bernard Shaw said he was an atheist because he hated the idea of God seeing even what he did in his bedroom by himself. God sees everything. And the more you have that sense of accountability to God, the freer you will be over sin. If you want God's recognition, then do good. Secondly, here's a second reason why. God will answer your prayers. Notice the text, and his ears are open to their prayers. He receives them. He's welcoming them. He wants your prayers. Well, why? So he can answer them. How many of you want your prayers answered? Okay, now you know one of the qualifications. You have to be this way. Third reason is because God is against those who do evil. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. How many of you want to be on the bad side of God? How many of you want to have God as wanting to take care of you in the worst way? Not me. God makes a great friend and a bad enemy. I want to please the Lord. Now, what this text is saying, in summary, is that if you want the blessing of God, be a blessing to others. That's it, in a nutshell. Simple? It is to say. Simple to do? Yeah, when I'm with people I like and who like me. Simple to do when I'm with people that I violently disagree with. And I'd love to give them a piece of my mind, a piece that I can ill afford to lose. We are to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Don't be deceived in saying, oh, everybody's, oh, boy, did you see the news this past week? Some Catholic hierarchy decided to say to the Speaker of the House, you're being denied Eucharist in the Catholic Church. And the article went on to say how the Pope is always talking about compassion and everybody should be able to come to the Eucharist. It's for people who are... I guess he hasn't read 1 Corinthians 11. You do not have towards the Lord's Supper. Y'all come. If you come, you come with repentance so that you may leave in joy. But if you come and you are guilty of unconfessed sin, you are bringing judgment on yourself. And I wish the Pope would understand that. Now, I disagree with him, or he disagrees with me, on a number of issues. And that's to be expected. But that's what the biblical text says. Don't be gullible. There are a lot of people that are gullible. Don't be gullible. Be as wise as a serpent. Because there are people that are out there wanting to hurt you. Don't put yourself that way deliberately in harm's way. But be as harmless as a dove. What an antithesis. What a synthesis. He wants to bring them both together. That's important. You have been called to be blessed. Be a blessing to others. You are now a Christ-centered individual. He is the one that determines what you think and how you feel and how you respond. There are times when we do need to get angry. Even our Lord did. There are times when we do need to confront evil. But may the whole tenor of your life be one of blessing to others. May you be a blessing to others today. Let's stand for the benediction. Our gracious Father and our God, help us to spread the blessing that you have given to us to other people. People who are angry with you, people that abuse you and use people. I pray, Father, that you will help us to be wise, so that we don't condone evil, but help us also to be harmless as doves. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the abiding fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest with us all, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.